When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money presented by DraftKings right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Of course, coming up in 14 minutes, we've got Palm versus the big guy. Some controversy last week. Even Thomas Gable checking in from the Borgata wants to be a guest judge. I will vet those that have been writing in, and I will figure that out along the way. Today, it'll just be me with the golden pen. Mike Palm is here, Circa, the D, Golden Gate Casino's VP of Ops, at Mike Palm Circa on Twitter, sitting alongside the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, at the D. So my question, boys, is how's the weather today in Vegas? Because stadium swim is going to be crazy, as it was for game one, VGK and the Dallas Stars, correct?
Yeah, it's not an official watch party tonight. We only get one of the official ones. One each round of the playoffs.
How does that really work, though? Because it's the place everyone wants to be in town.
It does, yeah. But they send the, you know, they send the drum line, night line, okay. and the Gila Monster, and then Bill Foley was supposed to come, but he ended up canceling the last minute. Maybe there was an emergency meeting at Bournemouth, but it ends up 150 plus of his staffers all came. Kerry Buchholz, the president, they were all there, so. We expect another good crowd. A little cooler weather, a little bit more moderate, Patrick. Only in the 80s today, Friday. I see only a high in the low 70s. So we're getting a relief from the heat already.
Was this the idea? I remember when you still had to wear the hard hat to go look at Circa. Mm-hmm. And when you guys were just starting to build it, you had the great opening, and now Stadium Swim has become the destination for events like tonight, even if it's not an official viewing party. Was this, with you and Stevens, was this the vision that it would be the go-to place for big events?
It was, but you know, the original idea is slightly different than the actual use today. You know, he thought, and why I say he, Derek, that we were going to do like sports audio 80% of the time. And I told him, who wants to come in and listen to the Rays and the Orioles on a Thursday morning? I mean, it's just not reasonable. And now it's probably 15 to 20% because it's still a day drinking and it's a DJ and it's still that party vibe. And then, you know, on most in college Saturdays, we don't play the volume of the college football game. NFL Sundays, yes. Monday night football, Thursday night football, obviously playoff games. We do about a dozen of these parties with the Knights throughout the course of the year, so we'll have the volume for them particular things. Boxing and UFC goes crazy out there. It's great. So it's actually going better than I thought it would be. I thought the venue might struggle a little bit, but it helped too that we opened during a pandemic, and that the first summer we were open, we were the only pool in town too.
Go ahead, Dustin.
How did last week's fight compare to the fight the week before?
Last week's fight, was, I will say, 40% bigger volume.
Really?
And the handle was better. The handle, and they bet the dog. And we were accumulating towards a $500,000 liability on Garcia. So we dropped the price and took a big bet on the favorite to get off of that horrible position. Only ended up losing about, I think, $40,000 on it. Could have been a disastrous result, though.
Well, Garcia's an L.A. kid,
which
does corroborate with everybody in Vegas tending to bet L.A., mm-hmm. so that makes sense. But I was going to say about Stadium Swim, I had one opportunity a couple Super Bowls ago to stay at Circa, and I was lucky enough to have one of the rooms that faces Stadium Swim, and I felt like it was George Orwell in 1984. Like, the Super Bowl started, and I'm standing at the window of my room at Circa watching the Super Bowl on the screen at Stadium Swim out my window because it was that clear and almost like it was in my room. That was like, it's quite an experience.
People are very adamant about which side they want to stay on when they stay there. Many people love that. Some don't, right? Some want to be on the opposite side away from having that in their face. And then, of course, it's, you know, you're one side or the other. You get the Fremont Bands on one side, you know, and you get Stadium Swim on the other. But it's even more beautiful at night. Like on that Super Bowl, as the second quarter comes and the sun starts to set.
That's a great golden hour.
Those colors are at sunset. Oh. That screen just
purpley, and orange, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it makes you believe in God when you see that. Hey, is there? There's a rumor floating around. Who takes care of Bill's bed? You know, the pull-out bed at Legacy Club when you actually have to open the club, because the rumor is he does stay there overnight at Legacy Club. Can you corroborate?
I think he has a
Bill
cot. I think he has a cot down in his office in the basement. Is what I heard. Now, of course, that would be illegal, but I'm not sure Len Mead has been there yet, so I think Bill will be all right.
Well, they did have, you're a VSiN host, they did have drinks over there at Circa last night with the big heavy hitters and luminaries. Did you show up?
Oh, I wasn't invited. I didn't know. Is that because Michael was in town? I got a text from Michael yesterday as he got to town.
Was it a hello, I'm in town, or hey, I need something in my room?
Not in his room, but something else. And so then I texted him several times back about setting everything up that he needed, and then I didn't hear from him again. I did see him in the studio today, but I didn't. He knows where I am.
He must have lost his phone.
Did you do what I do with a lot of women? I double check that the iPhone says delivered at the bottom.
I did. Read.
Wanted to confirm.
I do. I have read receipts. With Michael, I have read receipts.
You got read receipts. Too much there. I'll just move on. The draft. Now, we were joking last week, and you said maybe he's being a little overblown, Mr. Derek Stevens, about booking the draft. How's it been going behind the scenes there at Circa Sports?
Good. We lowered the limit and offered a bunch more, and the rights like 10 times what it was last year when we had a limited menu. Of course, we'll have to pull it down here.
Yeah, what time?
5:00. We'll pull it down. But we've had good. It's mostly based around quarterbacks, right? That's the majority of the rights so far, and over 4.5, over 4. Now, I know Michael, I think he's still sticking to his 6, right? That he said 6 to me in the pressing three weeks ago.
So he thinks Nix is going to go.
Yeah, I think that's Michael's key position, is that Nix goes first round. Now on the other side, Tim Murray saying under 4.5. So he's saying no Penix or Nix. We're getting so heavy bet to the over 4.5. I almost think, don't you have to move it to 5.5 and put the juice on the under at some point?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I would say. I think juicing the under on the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know Michael was on that position. That's fascinating. He knows stuff, so it'll be curious to see if Nix does go in that first round. The NHL, so I heard you guys talking a little bit before, 4-3 win on Monday night for VGK, huge in Dallas, and you're thinking about coming back on them again tonight?
Well, I mean, the price went from 140 to 170 on Dallas, I guess, and now we got NHL zigzag. I don't know that there's anything significantly different other than we know that Stone looked healthy. I mean, there were some question marks with their illegal team they were putting back out there. Obviously, these guys couldn't play because they were over the salary cap, but no salary cap in the playoffs. I said, you know, Dallas is supposed to win the series, but Ottinger has never performed well in the playoffs, Patrick. Save percentage like 860 in the playoffs, 870. And I didn't think he played particularly well on Monday night. either. So, I mean, now the price goes from 140 on Dallas to, I saw earlier today, 174 at one book. I mean, I'm almost tempted to come back with the Knights. Now, the Knights did get off to an early lead, and I thought took the crowd totally out of the game. There was zero buzz in that building. We have some folks that flew down there for the game that had seats behind the Knights bench that we know, and they said, oh, it's nothing compared to T-Mobile. Well, nothing compares to T-Mobile, but at the same time, if Dallas would have gotten off to a lead, it would have been a much different atmosphere.
No, it was you're right. If, speaking of getting off to an early lead, you saw what happened with the Islanders. Can you imagine? Up 3-0 on the road at Carolina. It's tough to play there in Raleigh. They come back, the Hurricanes, and win it.
I want to see somebody post an Islanders puck line ticket. How would you like to have the Islanders plus a goal and a half up 3-0 and you blow? That's got to be one of the all-time bad beats.
You lose by two. Well, you may not know that Dustin is born and raised a big Islander fan. And, Dustin, what was your takeaway from game one?
Yeah, I miss the glory days, you know, of Pat LaFontaine and Darius Kasparaitis. Yeah, you know, those are the glory days for me.
Well, I have to tell you this. You can make the argument the Islanders outplayed them both games. I thought they definitely outplayed them in game one. Tough loss, 2-1, and then you have a 3-0 lead. So the psyche's got to be pretty tough going back to Long Island, though.
We were all on the Preds last night.
Yeah.
And jumped out to a big lead, held on there. I'm just trying to take a look. I forget the final score. Pardon
five,
me. The Predators, 4-1 winner over the Canucks.
Yeah. Well, the news started to trickle like 10:30 yesterday morning because Demko did not practice on Monday and then was not at the morning skate. I texted Mitch and Paul. I said, something's wrong with him. And then Mitch, like, 10 minutes later, officially he was out, right? I don't know if they were able to beat the move there, but that's huge. I mean, Nashville that series might have been a dead pick if Demko had never come back from injury. And, you know, Nashville actually let one slip away in game one. You know, they're up in the third period there. They could very easily have been headed back to Bridgestone up 2-0.
The handle on the NHL and NBA postseason there at Circa been good to start?
Very good. The NBA's more than the NHL. More people. There's a bigger volume of people that bet it. But the future markets, hockey's pretty close with the NBA. People like to bet the future markets in hockey. And I think our total right into conference and championship pools is very similar between the two. On a game-to-game basis, though, the NBA probably does about 30-35% more per game in the playoffs.
Has attrition set in with VGK fans, or are they still just as into it?
Oh, no. They're still just as into it. And now you're defending champions, so they've got even more motivation.
That's what we love to hear. Defending champ in Palm versus the big guy, Mike Palm.
Yeah.
Up 4-2-1, and we're coming back with Palm versus the big guy right here on Sharp Money, presented by DraftKings. It's VSiN, the sports betting network.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, of course, it's time for Palm versus the big guy. You know how this works. 30-second shot clock. I'll do the judging today, Thomas Gable, and then we'll mix it up potentially next week. On the clock first is actually Mike Palm. He won the coin toss with Jeezy the dog backstage. So let's get into it. The biggest draft bust in your lifetime, NFL-wise, is who, Mike Palm?
Great question. This could be a handful of choices. I'm going to go with 1999, the third pick by the Cincinnati Bengals, Akili Smith. Remember Akili Smith? All he did was go 3-12 as a starter for the Bengals. Completion percentage for his career, Patrick, in the NFL, 46%, 5 touchdowns against 13 interceptions, 3 years out the door, never seen again.
Good one. Dustin.
I'm going to go with the obvious answer for my lifetime, and it's Jamarcus Russell, because bust would imply expectations. And when you looked at the prospect of Jamarcus Russell, he was unlike anything we'd seen at the quarterback position. The size, the ability to throw it from anywhere, the rumors that he could throw it from one knee 80 yards in the air. And the reason he's the biggest bust is because he only lasted 3 seasons. To be a number one overall pick and have that talent and to not even stay on as a backup shows you how little he cared about actually playing football. No one expected a number one pick to not at least have a 5-6-7 year career in the league.
Dustin Sweetelson, we talked about Stadium Swim. You're bringing friends to Stadium Swim for one event. What's the best event at Stadium Swim?
I'm very happy you said event, Patrick, because to me, it is the Masters. It is golf. I do believe that venue, Stadium Swim, where I've spent many a great day that I don't remember, is built for a multi-day event where you can kind of stretch out and enjoy it and have the drinks and camaraderie. And with golf, you don't have to be locked in the entire time. You can check in as things happen, look up at the screen. It's built perfectly for the drinking, the dining, being social and having a good time. And you'll always get replays of the big moments. So to me, the Masters, because the weather in April is perfect here in Vegas.
The best event I've ever attended out there was Triple G versus Canelo, Patrick. It's either a big boxing match or a huge UFC card, because the excitement of the people, and in the evening, as we talked about how crisp the colors are, the people get all dressed up, and it's just a frenzy for hours. Different, a little different than Dustin's experience of the Masters on a sunny afternoon and enjoying yourself. This, as far as action per second and voltage, is not toppable.
Okay. A lot of drafts, a lot of wide receivers in this year's draft. Let's go. Jerry Rice, Randy Moss. In our lifetime, who is the third best wide receiver you've seen, Mike Palm?
A snap call here is Megatron. I mean, the 3 years he had from 2011 to 2013, where he averaged 110 yards a game, probably the best three-year stretch of any wide receiver. How about on a team that went 0-16 in 2008? He went for 1,350 yards and 12 touchdowns. He simply was, for a short period of time, the very best, and I have him at number 3.
Unfortunately, I have the same answer as Mike Palm. 9-year career, but he was barely human. He was built in a lab. He's everything you want a receiver to be, a size-speed combination that shouldn't exist, an ability to go up and get the ball, to make plays in space, 3 All-Pros, averaged more than 110 yards per game in a season, almost had 2,000 yards in 2012, and as the great philosopher Giselle once said, my husband cannot throw and catch the ball himself. He had Dan Orlovsky at one point throwing him the ball, and he had 1,300 yards that season. Put him in a different class than everyone else. He is an alien at the position.
Dustin, the best sports month, 1 month is of the calendar year?
Well, I think there's a very clear debate. It's April versus October. And I understand why people think that April is incredible, but to me, it's October. There's a vibe where college football, there's a misconception that later in the year is better. Au contraire. I like when conference schedule first gets going in college football. The NFL picture is being painted. We can see who are the contenders and pretenders. The World Series is going on. You combine that with the fact that NHL, college basketball, and the NBA all get going. I like the vibes of October with that crisp in the air.
I agree with Dustin. I don't think it's the spring. I think it's the fall. It's the best football month by far. This is when you get all your conference matchups. The only good week in November is the final week, yeah, when you get rivalry games. You're right about the NFL. This is where the season takes shape, and you get your contenders from your pretenders. It's the entire baseball playoffs, right, from the wild card all the way up through the World Series. And hockey gets underway. NBA gets underway. If you punch all the numbers, you can't put March or April next to it.
Mike Palm, Scottie Pippen,
yeah,
is he an underrated player, an overrated player, or do you think he's properly rated?
I don't know that. I will say overrated because I don't know that he's all-time 50 greatest players. He had a great luxury of playing with Michael. And in the years when Michael wasn't there, he couldn't will that team across the top. And at the end of the day, what you'll remember about Scottie Pippen is when they designed a play that wasn't for him and he sat on the bench because he didn't want to be the guy throwing the ball in bounds.
I think Scottie Pippen is actually a little underrated. See, when you're Michael Jordan, it's real easy to do what you do. Get yours, get your buckets, defend the second best player on the other team. When Scottie Pippen's the guy having to do the dirty work, he's locking in whoever the best guy is on the wing for the opposing team. He's the guy who's going to set you up the best offensively. He can run the point. And I think we need to address sidekicks, Patrick, because stars like Patrick get a lot of credit. But I think the sidekicks deserve a little bit more.
What an idiot. Dustin, this will be interesting because you guys haven't spent the same amount of time there. Honest answer about Las Vegas. Yeah. Is it a great sports town or is it a betting and entertainment town?
I think it's an extremely knowledgeable sports town, but that does not make it a great sports town. I think people know a lot about sports, but a great sports town to me implies that the local teams can go through the ups and downs and have that loyalty. We've yet to see that take place. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I want to see when the struggles are really happening, will this fan base stick by their teams and ride with them? Because to me, a city like Cleveland is in a class in and of itself as a great sports town because up or down, those people care. I don't know if Vegas fans truly care about these teams when things are bad.
Patrick, I dismiss the or and say it's both. And I will tell you that the AAA team sells out every game. The Aces lead the WNBA in attendance. There's no other venue like T-Mobile for Golden Knights games. When they host all these college events here and college tournaments here, they are sellouts in whatever venue. They right-size them to the venues. I think it's a great sports, a burgeoning, to your point, burgeoning great sports town. And then if you consider the sports part of the entertainment, second to none in the world.
The Mike Palm, the best, or excuse me, the better draft class as far as quarterbacks, yeah, was it 85, Elway, Kelly, and Marino, or 04, Big Ben, Eli, and Phillip Rivers?
No, it's the 83, actually, Patrick, class of Elway, Kelly, and Marino. And I think objectively, if you just take those three, I would side with the 83 class, 8 Super Bowls compared to 4. I know you can measure the championships. They have a few more yards thrown because Kelly only threw for 35,000 because he was in the USFL. But let's go down beyond that. Who's after that in 04? J.P. Lossman was also in the first round from Tulane to the Bills. Give me Kenny O'Brien in 25,000 career yards. Craig Krenzel from Ohio State was taken in the fifth round. I'll take Tony Eason, who led the 85 Patriots to the Super Bowl. Jim Sorgi, okay, he was a backup for a while. Give me Todd Blackledge, became a great announcer. Oh, by the way, Gary Kubiak was also drafted in the eighth round. A credit to the coaching profession.
It don't mean a thing if you ain't got them rings.
Oh,
and when
boy.
It comes to 2003, Big Ben and Eli combined for more rings than that other group. John Elway's the only one with the titles. You're drafting quarterbacks, the only thing that quarterback's supposed to do? bring championships along the way. Big Ben, 2 and 03. Eli, 2 from the 03 class. You can act like the regular season matters. You can act like those stats mattered. When the lights were the brightest, when it mattered the most, those two teams delivered like Moses and took their teams to the promised land.
I had written down after the 83 draft class answer by Mike Palm, the best answer of the day was Mike's answer about the quarterbacks. Dustin, you just turned it into a push.
Very nice.
Shout out to Moses.
I would say the theme today is one of the two had a little extra flair today. And I'll tell you where the flair stood out. Calling Giselle a philosopher made me laugh. So Dustin wins the wide receiver because you both had Megatron. Draft bus was Akili Smith. I gave the answer to Mike. Circa, that was a push. Pippen, Dustin calling him a sidekick and putting me down actually made him win that one. Vegas push, and then 83, Dustin came through with a push. 2-1, Dustin Sweetelson today. And I wrote down flair. He had a certain flair about him today. Mike Palmer, you good with it?
I'm good with it. Great with it.
Dustin, your speech.
Thank you to the Old Testament for giving me the inspiration to move past Mike today.
Mike Palm, enjoy the draft. Enjoy VGK tonight. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, fellas.
Wes Reynolds is coming up next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, and of course, vsin.com. Brand new paint job. It looks great on the cell phone. Check it out. Best bets, betting splits, all your NFL draft coverage is there. NBA, NHL, odds by state, betting tools, and betting guides. Make sure you check out vsin.com. And of course, tomorrow we've got the draft. I want to give a special shout out here. Wes Reynolds, of course, host with Matt Youmans of VSIN tonight, Monday through Thursday, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern time. So again, Wes and Matt are going to have you locked down tomorrow. We've got a great day as far as our draft coverage. We've got VSIN primetime, Murray, Von Tobel, Golic Sr., Golic Jr., and then Lombardi with the GM shuffle in between. And then Wes and Matt come on with VSIN tonight to give you the full recap of round one. We say hi to our buddy Wes Reynolds. So the draft, how have you been handling it as a bettor? Because the variance is wild.
I have actually not been handling it as a bettor. I have no draft bets at this standpoint. And it's kind of interesting you bring that up because I was talking with Chuck Esposito, of course, is the sportsbook director at Station Casinos based out at Red Rock out there in Summerlin. And he and I kind of both agreed, even though we're on opposite sides of the counter, like he's a draft Nick and I am too. And I follow it, but I haven't bet it because I kind of asked him, you know, because he's a big NFL guy and he goes, I'm a draft Nick, but I don't necessarily love booking it, but we have to book it because look, there's a demand from our customers and there's an interest for it. So we're not going to shy away from it. And we're going to go ahead and book this thing. And they were one of the first outs actually in Las Vegas. I'll give them credit for that with a pretty full menu of props. And then more have kind of petered into the market over the last couple weeks out here. And then of course, nationally, they've been out for a couple months now, but yeah, I'm the same way. I have not really done anything with the draft, even though I've been following it because of that variance.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. Stevens walked by Dustin last week and he said, the draft used to be my favorite event and now I hate it. And of course, Derek Stevens runs Circa Sports, so he agrees with Esposito, does not like to book it. Okay, let's get into some plays here. Tonight's fascinating. So VGK on Monday, 4-3 winner at Dallas. Right now, Dallas close to $160 as a favorite. VGK coming back plus 145. What do you think about this game tonight in this series, Wes?
Yeah, look, if you watch the first game and you're just looking at the score, you're like, well, Vegas went gate to wire. They never trailed in this game. Had a 3-1 lead early and then a 4-2. Dallas got a goal in the third, made it a little dicey where VGK had to survive in the final couple minutes. But you would have thought that the Vegas Golden Knights outplayed the Dallas Stars, but it was the exact opposite. Dallas, I thought, what was the better team. Vegas Golden Knights, by the way, they ended up with 15 shots on goal through the three periods. I believe they had 11 through two. That was lower than any regular season game that they had played this season with shots on goal. But what happens is they went on special teams. Mark Stone got a power play goal, and then they got a second one early. So 2 of 2 on the power play for VGK, 0 for 2 for Dallas, and that was the decision based on you know, the result of the game. But if you look at how VGK's been playing, and I know they're healthy and they've got Stone back after he had been out for a couple months, but Vegas Golden Knights in 6 of their last 8 games, including Monday night in the playoff game, they've been outscored in the 5-on-5, and they got outscored in the 5-on-5, 3-2 by the Stars. Again, Ottinger just let in a couple tough power play goals, but I thought Dallas was the better team. I thought they really outplayed them pretty much every regard in terms of outshooting them. You know, they led the 5-on-5, the expected goals when you get in all the analytics and stuff in hockey betting, but I do like the Stars here. No, the money line has come down a little bit from an early surge on the opener because people are looking at that VGK price like, oh, that's a big price, and it is. But I think you could play the Stars on the money line, or if you want to go in regulation, I think it's like maybe minus 110 inside the 60 minutes. That'd be the way I go. I think the Stars are coming back to Vegas tied 1-1.
And that, for a better, is the perfect example of why just checking out the box score doesn't always work. You got to watch these games. Let's go Pelicans Thunder. So this total closed on Sunday, 216.5. The two teams went out and combined for 186. So the bookmakers dropped it down to 211.5, which is where we sit right now. And you're saying, okay, I'm now going to go over with the Pelicans and Thunder.
Yeah, and look, I'm flying in the face of recent trends here because this has been the absolute under city so far in the playoffs, and I think it's going to predominantly stay that way, but you got to go by individual matchups. I think Sunday you really had kind of the perfect storm for the under with the Pelicans and the Thunder, because keep in mind, the Pelicans, that was their third game in 5 days, and they had to stave off elimination on Friday against the Kings, so obviously maybe a little bit of fatigue there. It showed more on the offensive end, actually, than it showed on the defensive end, surprisingly enough. And then the Thunder, game one, you're the number one seed. You don't have a lot of playoff experience. They had some jitters early, and both these teams really shot the ball poorly. I think the pace was a little bit faster. It still might not have went over if the shooting was a little better, but the shooting was really poor. Oklahoma City was 32% on the threes. But New Orleans did not shoot well, especially Ingram and McCollum. They combined for 14 of 39. But I do think that there's routes for scoring tonight, just simply because on the Thunder side, they don't have an answer for Jonas Valanciunas. Jonas Valanciunas absolutely dominated on the boards, as did Larry Nance. I think Valanciunas had 20, Larry Nance had 8. So you're talking almost near 30 rebounds for these guys, because Chet Holmgren, as good of a shot blocker as he is, he's not a really physical big guy. He's not a physical center. So you can score on him defensively, but he can score on JV offensively, because Jonas Valanciunas is not going to stop this guy and be able to guard this guy away from the basket. Chet's got really good ball skills. You know, he can take you off the bounce. He can shoot three. So I think the shooting is going to be better on both sides for these teams tonight. And I think, you know, the jitters are kind of out. Oklahoma City now, it's like, okay, we got the win. You know, we grinded it out. Great defensive stop by Cason Wallace, by the way, at the end there on the final possession. But I think you're going to get a lot of putbacks on the rebounds here, and I think you're getting more tempo, so I like the over tonight.
Yeah, tremendous. When everybody's going one way, Wes is going to go the other way. We like to see it. That was, of the 8 games over the weekend, New Orleans and Oklahoma City on Sunday night was the best game. Very much not the best game was Miami and Boston in game one. Tonight, the Celtics are laying 14.5, 205.5. They have adjusted the total down. But you like Porzingis over 4.5 points in the first quarter in this one.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting angle, and probably in terms of this series, I'm not going to be playing many, many sides or many totals here, because look, I think that this is probably heading for a sweep unless you get really bad shooting variance for Boston in game 3 or 4 down in Miami, which you certainly could. Boston took like 49 threes on Sunday. That's what they do. I think they took 30 in the first half and Miami only took 14. So Spo kind of has no choice but to go to the zone. That's what he's going to have to do and hope that they shoot bad, because Miami clearly outmanned. And I even think if Jimmy Butler were in the lineup that they'd be outmanned. But if you look at Porzingis in the three meetings against Miami this season, he had 7 on Sunday in game one in the first quarter and had 12 and 14 in 2 regular season meetings. So what's going to happen is he's going to get the better matchup, I think, offensively, because I think Bam Adebayo is probably going to have to guard Jason Tatum, because Tatum is the most dynamic player on the Celtics, and KP, you know, has some size mismatches down there, and, you know, can kind of bust the zone and get the ball in the middle. So Porzingis is a guy that really gets off to a good start scoring for Boston. And I think when he's going in the first quarter, they kind of look to get him going early too, I think, because Tatum and Brown, I think, can, even if they have slow starts, they can put up a lot of points at the end. So Porzingis over 4.5 points.
Great, great breakdown. Wes, coming up on Friday night, so the Pacers are going to lay 5 at home hosting Milwaukee. Like, it's very apparent that they just don't have anything on the wing to contain Siakam right now. Do you believe that last night's performance, yesterday's performance from the Pacers was more indicative, or would you rewind to game one? What did you think about the Pacers last night?
It might be a little bit in the middle, but I lean toward game two because I think you just hit it, Patrick. Without Giannis, they have nobody for Siakam, and he's the absolute best player on the floor, I think. You know, Tyrese Halliburton, and actually Dustin and I were talking about this briefly last night before I came in for my show. Tyrese Halliburton, you know, is still kind of trying to figure it out. He doesn't have a lot of confidence in a shot right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was still able to, you know, distribute the ball and run the offense very well. But, you know, you want to see something a little bit more out of him. But Turner was great. Siakam was great. I think we're going to know, and I think the market is anticipating, okay, no Giannis for game three. Game four over the weekend on Sunday, we're going to know, okay, how serious is this injury for Greek Freak? So, you know, the market is obviously adjusted to that and don't expect him to go, because we're seeing some 5.5s out there.
Yeah, it's a great point about Halliburton. He always kind of has a weird-looking jumper, but it even looks – he just doesn't look confident. I don't know what it is. Obviously the injury – but for a player in the first half of the season or the first couple of months to turn into this, first teamer the first 2 months of the year. It's crazy to see the fall off from Halliburton.
Yeah, he dominated these guys in the regular season series, but obviously a different dynamic, a different coach now for Milwaukee. And then, of course, playing with Pascal Siakam, who really is the go-to guy now for the Pacers.
Yeah. Ton of usage. Okay. VSiN tonight. Remember, after the draft, Wes and Matt got you covered. Also, Long Shots, the podcast. Great stuff, Wes. Thank you. And we'll talk to you next week.
Good to be with you guys.
Good to see you. Progressive Guest Line brought you Wes Reynolds. Coming up next, Alex Caruso with the props.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying, tears, crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, you can bet $5 at DraftKings, of course, an official betting partner of the NBA, and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's for new customers, but you have to use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. So again, get involved. NBA postseason tonight. Bet $5, $200 instantly, promo code VSIN. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Our next guest. How do I explain our next guest? His name is Alex Caruso, and he has made us a lot of money over the past few months. And I'll say this. What I like about Alex Caruso's approach, and he's a prop bettor, and it's transparency. So let me tell you where you can find him. You can find Alex simply on Twitter, at Alex Caruso, C-A-R-U-S-O. And I encourage you to go follow him right now because he just hands out winners like candy. Just here you go. Here you go. Here's the write-up. Here's the justification. And I talked about transparency, which is so important in this space because you can simply scroll through and see how he's done. And I got to be honest, I'm a 46-year-old man, been betting for, I don't know, 35 years. This, as far as propositions, maybe the best I've seen. And I'm not saying that lightly. And props are bigger with the younger kids, so we welcome in Alex Caruso, who is a little bit younger. And by the way, he's up in the Boston area. You can go sign up for that DraftKings special. Bet $5, get $200 instantly there, Mr. Caruso.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait. This is the best time of year. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, NFL draft. I mean, does not get better than this. Appreciate you having me on.
No, appreciate you coming on. Let's do the draft quickly, and he's brought to you on the Progressive Guest Line. McCarthy to go over 5.5 as far as draft position. It's plus money, plus 115. You think McCarthy's going 5.5 or over?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a lot of this stuff has been as simple as, like, teams that are drafting players, 85% of the time in the top 10, they're coming from teams where they had official top 30 visits. J.J. McCarthy didn't have a visit with the 4th or the 5th pick, and he has the 3rd best odds for the 2nd and 3rd pick. So I don't think he's going 4 or 5, and it seems like the top 3 are going to be the other 2 QBs. So I think this is really good value at this play, unless the team trades up.
Roma Dunze over 8.5 at plus 120, but also potentially to the Giants at plus 250.
Yeah, like I mentioned, those top 30 visits that are 85% of the time, that's where guys are going. The only top 30 visits he had with teams in the top 8 were the Cardinals and the Giants. He's plus 4,500 to go to the Cardinals. Unlikely there. Giants, 2nd best odds, are the only team that can take him. So I think the value of getting plus 120 over 8.5, especially when the Giants think of the only team that can take him.
Beautiful. Brock Bowers over 12.5, 2-1.
That is my single favorite bet for the NFL draft. I know that people see the freak machine and the college stats and that, of course, how does this guy not go in the top 10? But like I mentioned, he didn't have a single top 30 official visit with any team in the top 12. No one's done it. Not a lot of guys come when they don't have those big visits. So I think that he's going to find his way outside the top 12.
I love that. He's got one more. Alex Caruso has one more. We'll put it over at the VSiN.com/picks page if you want that for the draft. Let's jump into the NBA. Correct me if I'm wrong. I do feel like, as far as a specialty, is the NBA capping props? Is that your favorite sport?
Yeah, I think so. I think NBA is the easiest because there's the lowest range of outcomes when guys constantly have the ball in their hand. Like football, you know, a guy's throwing to a guy downfield. So many things can go wrong. I think NBA is the easiest way to stay consistent.
Let's start with an under. And it does feel like a guy you've been fading a lot. Correct me if I'm wrong. Josh Giddey. Of course, you're going under 20.5 points, rebounds, and assists, $1.10. How about Giddey on the under here?
Yeah, I love Giddey on the under. He played only 20 minutes in game one for a reason. He just doesn't have the quickness to keep up with the guards, the Pelicans. I don't think that he's going to be over 20 minutes per game in the whole season. And him having to average over 1 points, rebounds, and assists per minute on those low minutes, I think is just going to be really hard for him to hit overall.
Okay, so go PRA on Josh Giddey, under 20.5. Same game, Brandon Ingram. Ball's in his hands a lot. You're going to go over 24.5 points and assists, minus $1.22.
Yeah, this is purely the hit rate. He had the worst game of the entire season when he's seen over 35 minutes, which is why we get such a discounted line. He's almost a lock to play over 35 minutes, and when he's done that this season, he's been over in 74% of games. He's been right on the 24 line over 80% of games. He's been too good not to be involved as much as possible.
Alex Caruso, handicapper. Before we get to Miami and Boston, which you may be sitting on the wood tonight. Alex is a big deal. He might be there betting the game in person. At Alex Caruso on Twitter. Let's talk a little philosophy, because I talked about your write-ups over on Twitter, and they're exemplary. The information's great. The transparency's great. But let me ask you about the process. When you start attacking props, maybe two or three things you start to look for when you sit down to start capping.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is for guys that are, their lines are over or under their averages for the season. So usually if a guy has not been very good lately, then I'm usually looking to take an over, because you get a big discount, and overall for the season they've been really good. If they're over that, then they're probably likely to go under. If they're coming off their best game of the season or the best stretch of the season, they're going to go under there. The other thing I look for a lot is just matchups. I think that position by position, looking at what teams, every team has a weakness. There's always one position. They're not as good as everything else. I think as simple as finding guys that are over under their averages and looking at what the weaknesses of every team are the biggest two things that people can look at.
No, that's beautiful. And I just want to give an example. So in game one, D'Angelo Russell against Denver had one of his worst games of the year. And so you look to game two and you see a deflated number there. And obviously he goes, what, hits 7 3-pointers, goes nuts. So that's kind of what, maybe not specifically, but that's what Alex is talking about, taking advantage of the market in that respect. Let's go with Miami at Boston. Jaylen Brown, over 19.5 points. You are going to lay a little juice here.
Yeah, I think that Jaylen Brown, I mean, a lot of the other thing that I didn't mention with the best things people can look for, I think days of rest is very indicative of player performance, whether they're traveling, whether they need extra time off. Every guy has been different. Jaylen Brown might be the best 2 days of rest player in the entire NBA. In 19 games this season, he has at least 18 points in all 19 games, 20-plus points in 18 out of 19 games. You can get this line with a little juice, minus 165, over 19.5 points. He's been way too good all season on this level of rest.
That's a great nugget. Always look for rest in the NBA. Duncan Robinson, this one's fascinating to me. So you're going to go over 1.5 rebounds, minus $1.45. Walk me through your thought process there.
I mean, this has been really simple. Is like he's been rebounding a lot better lately. He has at least 2 rebounds in 18 of his last 19 games. I know he's been hurt, but the only way the Heat win this series is by having a guy that can stretch the Boston defense, which means that Duncan Robinson's going to be on the floor for minutes. The Celtics have been allowing the top 10 most rebounds to shooting guards and small forwards over the last month because they shoot 50% of their shots from three, lots of long rebounds. I think Duncan Robinson benefits.
And remember, you can find this information at Alex Caruso with one S on Twitter. The kid kills it. Finally, Caleb Martin, over 7.5 points tonight.
Yeah, this is my play of the day. I mean, Caleb Martin, the season started in October for the NBA. He has not missed this line in 4 straight games this entire season. That's been going on for 6+ months. And beyond that, he's also a great player off 2 days of rest. He has at least 7 points in every single 2 days of rest game this season, 8+ in 10 out of 11. Like I mentioned, he is due for a big game. He was the Celtics killer last year. I think he does it again tonight.
Well, listen, let me say this. Very happy for your success. I like the work ethic. I like the consistency. Show up every day. Keep the picks coming. give your explanation, transparency, keep that going. Now, I want to encourage everybody to check out at Alex Caruso on Twitter, because my assumption is we're not going to get it free for long. So as he keeps on posting them for free, we need to take advantage of it. Okay, Alex, appreciate your time today, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. There it is. Look at Dustin smiling, because we know Alex. We've been following Alex for a while now. We love to basically just jocking his plays. He was brought to you on the Progressive Guest Line. Coming up next, Scott Spreitzer, a professional handicapper. Look, the only thing I can tell you, and I talked about it at the beginning of the show, it can be such an insidious and such a weird industry. So he's had a lot of success, and he's garnered a lot of attention, which then brings out anytime you have success in life, you're going to get people that like you and people that hate you. When he started getting hate for hitting props, that's when I realized he was legit. Nobody pays attention to you when you're just good. When you're great, a lot of people pay attention and a lot of people want to take shots. That's when you know you've made it. At Alex Caruso on Twitter. Coming up next, Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.